All right, here we go. Give me count around, Joel.
2, 3, 1.
Who's the best show here?
Petco!
Who's the best show here?
Petco!
Yeah, that's the best one yet.
I am short.
Pizza, pizza.
Don't be hating on my household attire, okay? I don't want a Walmart like this.
We're making it from young in the kitchen. It's dining room. Sushi.
It's a little thing tech show, and that's fact. If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass. There ain't no funny duddies, that'll make it bad. But the stream is good like the DLNTF.org. And I see challenge the Linux thing down there. Found tech show, just sit right there, put together, just about to begin.
Yeah.
Yeah, episode 980.
I knew like well. Tech show.
Welcome. Right. Welcome, Alan.
Welcome. Thank you.
Welcome, Pat.
Happy turkey.
Hey, Joel. Oh, welcome.
Good evening. Welcome, Joel. And thankful that
Joel's
that
not actually welcome.
Tonight.
Yes, and welcome, Joe. Welcome, Joe.
Please, I'm actually trying to bring some tech content to this. Well, we're going to talk about OLF for a little bit. OLF is in 15 days.
Joel's not going to go because it's too convenient.
We'll see. I might go down Saturday for a partial day. But see, part of the thing is like my work life has been crazy lately. Like a couple days I was up. Like I'm getting ready to log off for the day, and we get in, and I get one of our clients has an incident, and our on call's having issues dealing with it, and then we go on. It's like I start logging in to help him do some troubleshooting in some of the servers, then all of a sudden the performance issue goes away. It's like. Okay.
Those are the best kind of problems, the ones you look at and they just disappear.
Well, except the client's going to want to have a root cause, so I'm probably going to end up dealing with that fallout tomorrow. But so then, you know, so that I didn't log off till 6 and got on at probably about 7:30 this morning.
It sounds like my yesterday.
Yeah, so I mean, and so like that's been my life. So a lot of times pulling away on, you know, away from the family during the weekend, it's not something I like to do as much, even if it's for a fun fest. And not to mention the fact, I don't know of anybody who's going other than Tony Bemis. He's going. I don't know if Tom's going. I know none of you guys are going. So, I mean, you know, who's going to be there? You know, Fitty, who used to go all the time, died, so he's not going to be there. Same with Lord Dracoblute, you know, and... Yeah, and it's I'm having a hard time to want to go down there, but we'll see. I'll talk to the wife about that.
Murph's not going to be there, but you know what? Won't no Master Yoda be there?
That's a possibility. I don't know. Haven't talked to him.
Trying
in a while.
To think of who else would show up. At
Falcon Rider would show up sometimes, but not very often. I haven't heard anything from him in a while.
So the question that I was wondering before we started the show was Zareason is gone. System 76 is still there. Think
right.
Penguin is still around. What was the original laptop company?
I don't know if it was a laptop company, but there was a server company, VA Linux Systems.
No, not VA Linux Systems.
Frostbite?
I think they only had like they specialized in ThinkPads.
Oh,
Murph is saying Emperor Linux.
Yes, Emperor Linux. That's what I was thinking of. Are they still around? I don't ever remember seeing them at a show.
Yeah, I don't either.
Thank you, Murph.
Neuros.
Yeah, oh yeah,
Neuros,
they're still there.
Is pretty much gone. Oh, there are they? Cool.
Yeah, Emperor Linux is still there. Their website looks like it's still the same website from 1990 something. very, very. Old school, but it gets the job done.
Do they have anything more modern in their hardware? Or
oh yeah, yeah, their
okay.
hardware's up to date.
Okay, all right. But yeah, you know, a lot of the expo area, which used to be pretty nice, I'm not expecting it to be very large at all, and it's probably going to be like IBM will be there. There might be a Red Hat booth, a Fedora booth, you know, and it's like that's nice that they're there, but it's like I can honestly go online and download a Fedora, what, 37? I think that just came out too. But, you know,
do you remember,
from a friend aspect?
Alan and Pat will remember these when we went to Linux World Expo at the Jacob Javits Center.
Oh, yeah.
A few times. We rented the stripper bus. Remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and man, those were huge.
The Dakota views.
Yeah, the Dakota yes. kicks. They were huge, those expos, comparatively speaking. Like you could fit.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the boobs on the stripper bus.
No. You can put OLF and Southeast Linux Fest in there and probably have a ton of room left over.
Did Joel work the poll?
No, Joel wasn't there. Joel was in the other side of the state, so... Well, he was outside the other side of the state.
Yeah, I was still at Columbus State.
We didn't see Joel until we went to OLF.
Absolutely.
And then we thought he was a homeless guy.
That's right. I remember what it was. Is I walked over to Walmart, bought a pair of jeans.
Because Joel didn't wear pants before we showed up.
No, I had pants on. No, I just needed a pair of jeans, which actually I'm starting to get there now again. But, you know. That was fun. Yeah, that was still there, by the way.
That first trip, ShopRat, like, he showed up drunk, didn't he?
Yeah,
he was. Just inebriated the rest of the weekend.
Pasty-faced ShopRat. But, yeah, you know, those were the days, and that was when that was...
I tend to remember we were all pretty shit-faced most of that weekend.
Yeah, I'm not trying to disparage ShopRat.
Was that the one... Wait, was that the first one that where you showed Jono your ass? No, it was the second one.
I don't think Jono was there the first one.
It's the one where we had control the drink tickets. You got me shit faced.
Yeah,
because I still drank back then. That had to have been the one because I remember. I think I was there when you did it, if I remember right. And then I remember being in Jono's talk, and he had you come up, and you did it again.
That wasn't until the second or third year, I think.
Yeah, but you guys went. I mean, OLF's probably one of the older ones around. I mean, it's been around for over 10 years now. So, I mean, almost 20, I think. But I do think Mad Dog's supposed to be there this year. He wasn't last year. But
yeah, you gotta get the Skonidos to see Mad Dog because he's getting up there in age.
Yes, he is.
He's not gonna be able to make that flight from South. Where is he now? South America somewhere.
No, I thought he was. I thought he was in New England.
Oh, he is
somewhere. Yeah,
I thought he was like hanging out in South America.
Well, he probably flies down there for Linux Foundation stuff, but you know, that's the thing is other than Tony. And I think they stopped producing SMLR, I think.
I don't recall seeing one in a while.
It's been a long time. And I know, well, you won't see him around, but I do know Matt got released, I think, of COVID.
Who?
Matt Enders.
Oh! Yeah, well, I guess the SMLR doesn't really want to talk about that.
No.
But I guess that's good. Is he? He's not back on the show, is he?
No.
Oh.
No. And Mary's not been on the show for a while either. When they had it, they had the last one was over a year ago.
Well, Linux in the Ham Shack still going strong, baby. Woo! And so is Gold
Linux.
Yeah,
but you won't see them there. I guarantee you that.
Didn't they show up to a few Ohio Linux Fest? Or am I just thinking strictly of Southeast Linux Fest?
No, they did. Because
Russ,
been...
and
Cheryl.
Cheryl. They're such nice people.
They are. Yeah.
Not like Alan.
They do come to the Dayton Hamvention.
I do my best, people.
There you go.
Yes. But they do come to the Dayton Hamvention, and Alan's got to get out here for that eventually.
Yeah, I do want to make that what's the pilgrimage?
Yes, it's worth it to come and hey, at the very least, if you don't buy anything big, you'll get a chance to win a radio. But I haven't won at that in years. Not since they moved from the now destroyed Hera Arena to Xenia.
Yeah, one of these years I'll get out to it.
Yep. Best bet, if you come though, Alan, hotel-wise, there's not like a lot near Xenia. Like, close might be like, there's a few hotels over by the Outlet Mall, which is about 23 minutes away. Then the rest of them are probably, the next closest would probably be like Beaver Creek or over by Wright Pat. But you might have a better chance at finding a closer place by looking like at an Airbnb or something, because there might actually be one right in Xenia. But either way, it's definitely worth a trip now, and it's a lot more of it's outside than used to be, which I guess is not a bad thing, but it's always
good. No, the amount of people that don't shower at Hamfest that are local, I couldn't imagine being inside too long in there.
Well, yeah, Hera used to get pretty right, because what Hera was it started out like as an old dance hall, like, you know, we're talking what, 50s, 40s and 50s, somewhere around there. And then they added on an arena, then they kept adding on buildings. So it was like this dilapidated mishmash of expansion after expansion after expansion. And what the main guy that owned it died, and his family started to run it afterwards. Then it got to the point where they didn't want to run it anymore. So then they ended up owing a lot to Trotwood or the county for taxes. So, you know, they had to sell it. So, about a year after they sold it, the tornado hit it and took it down. So, but you didn't miss anything there, to be honest. Well,
yeah.
There was some really, really great things about Hera. One of them wasn't the toilets. They literally had one explode out in the parking lot. One in the arena too. But I'm not joking. Like, one time there, out in the parking lot, which is where the flea market was, there's like this pool of sewage. So that was the unpleasant part. But other than that, there was a lot of good points about it. But it just got to the point where they couldn't take care of it, and it just started falling apart. So it was a big reason why they had to move it. But it was there for almost 60 years.
Yeah.
So you know, but. Now there's like one or two large halls, like where they would put when it was at Hera, they would used to put like the big ones, like Kenwood and Icon would be in the main arena, and surrounding them was MSJ and Texas Towers, a couple other vendors in there. But the nice thing about that, and it's still nice, they still have quite a bit of stuff for sale, not just ham radio stuff. Sometimes it's ham radio adjacent stuff. Like MCM used to come out there. They're I think they were bought by Element 14, I think. So the big thing they had to go was the Raspberry Pis and stuff, but you know, hopefully in a year that shortage will be resolved. But that's what Eben Upton actually talked about that like in the last week or so. So hopefully hopefully we start to see not just Raspberry Pis, but new Raspberry Pis with upgraded hardware. Because when you
go ahead. I'll finish up.
Well, I was going to say, because when you start to look at some of the alternatives, like the Orange Pis and the Banana Pis and stuff like that, and like the Odroids, you're starting to get hardware in those that eclipses what's in the Raspberry Pi 4. So if they want to remain relevant, they're going to have to work on new chips and stuff to get in those. But I'm not paying $200 for a Raspberry Pi. That's not happening.
I looked out over the summers and just happened to be down at a Micro Center and picked up a Pi 4, 4 gig model.
Yeah, if you can get lucky enough to get in there when they get a delivery, then you'll get it at the proper price.
Yeah, that's right.
But even looking at like Facebook Marketplace right now, a 3B Plus is running like $70, and that's not going to happen.
Yeah. No, not that old, man. That's what, 10 years old now?
Probably close, yeah.
Yeah.
That's only one generation back.
Yeah. Well, it's not like they bring out a new generation every year. They did for a while, but thank you, pandemic.
The 3B Plus is still extremely useful.
Oh, I'm not saying it isn't. Yeah, I'm using it for my open media outlet right now, but
yeah, you can do quite a lot with it. I'm just not going to pay $70 for a $35 device.
Yeah.
What was a $35 device, brand new. I'm not going to pay that for a used one.
Mm-hmm. But
has anybody played with that Orange Pi 800, that the all-in-one keyboard thing?
The Orange Pi one, no. I actually do want the Raspberry Pi 400.
Well, I've got a Raspberry Pi 400 over here. Because that was at the time, that was the only ones you could get anywhere. Yeah, and even that now, it's the same as the other Raspberry Pis now. That's actually a nice little computer. But I saw those Orange Pis. I was wondering if anybody had any experience with them.
Usually, when it comes to like the Orange Pis and stuff, they're either one for one clones or slightly better.
Okay. Right. Orange Pi 800. Sorry. Yeah.
I think maybe.
I'm Googling it. Let's see how much it is.
I think it's like, I saw it on Amazon. I think it was like $99 or something like that.
Let's see. Yeah, I'm just not a huge, huge fan of the Rock chips.
I've never actually used any of the other things other than Raspberry Pis.
I mean, I'd be willing to try it, but I'm really skeptical about other stuff that's not the Pi, for one. Because I'm just like, well, what kind of community support is behind it? That's the thing about the Raspberry Pi that it has that none of the others really have, is a huge community that will automatically produce things.
And I agree with you. I've even said the exact same thing before in the past.
Yeah.
But when it comes, like I said, when it comes to the Orange Pis, that doesn't have the community, but usually it's close enough to a clone that I would assume that it doesn't matter.
Right. Well, or if you can at least get an image and repos, you can at least do a lot of manual setup instead of like the nice thing about the Pi is, depending on what you do, you can probably literally go pull an image down and it has everything you need on it already, like for RetroPie or something like that. But the old D-Star boards for the DVAP, which I still have my DVAP. But one of these days, I need to buy one of the DVMM boards that can do both of them. But
I have the DVAP is running D-Star.
Yep.
On a little Pi W.
Yeah, I'm seeing the Orange Pi 800 on Amazon for $140.
Okay.
That's not bad. That's not bad at all. Yeah, my thing is, with my collection of retro machines now, I don't know if I have a place that could put it. I guess I could probably like rearrange where my TV is up here and move my Switch maybe behind the Apple II or something like that, but I didn't know. I do like my two retro machines I got in here. I haven't turned them on in a while because just no time, but I do like playing with the SIO to SD. I can play other games other than my cartridge games, but one of the things I really need to do, and I probably should do it before our family's holiday party, is I need to just go through things, get rid of stuff, you know, not always electronics, just get rid of stuff, you know, and clean up my home office space, because it's a clean up / reorganize it, I should say. And I actually got to get around to replacing those fans in my CR10 mini controller, especially if I want to print some ornaments. So I'm probably going to see if I can do that next week, since I'm off next week for the holiday, and may do that just so I get it, so it doesn't sound like it's a stuck goose anymore. My 3D printer was starting to sound like Pegwell's furnace a few years ago.
Oh, speaking of 3D printers, I did get Octoprint Octo 4A working.
Nice.
On my OnePlus Nord N200, the really cheap phone that I got from T-Mobile for trading in like an S3. So it works really well. I'm liking using it. I did have to redo my the E-steps for the extrusion, so I had to recalibrate that all over again, because evidently the calibration that is on the micro SD card doesn't retain if you're using the Octoprint, so I was under extruding again for a little while,
which is never good.
But got it all dialed in. Well, better under extruding than over extruding. Over extruding can do things like force your PTFE tubing to rip out, and that can be a major problem.
Ooh. I searched for that Orange Pi 800. I found someone had it for $108.
Yeah, but that doesn't come with the power supply. The one I was looking at came with the power supply.
Okay. All right. Like 122 with that. Okay, I see which one.
And then the shipping. It was 118, and then it was like 21 for the shipping.
Right.
So it came out to 140.
By the way, too, if you want an Orange Pi 800 Christmas, it's probably already too late. The first one I'm looking at in the search on Amazon, delivering December 9th through January 3rd. So, and it's not even December yet. But yeah.
You'll probably get it in early December, mid-December that way.
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking at the Orange Pi Zero right now.
Oh, there you go.
Wondering where I can pick that up.
Now, what you can get pretty quickly is the Orange Pi 4 LTS 3 gig. It has 3 gig LPDDR4, the Rock Chips, $33.99, which I think, is that the same one?
Yeah, Orange Pi is really a pretty close clone.
Yeah, there it is. Yes, I think it's the same chip. $79 for the board, and you can be there Monday.
Yeah, $80.
That's better than 95. That's the best I've seen on the 4.
That's for the Orange Pi 4. The Orange Pi 3 is $61. There's an Orange Pi 02 for $36. And it is definitely not the same form factor as the Pi 0.
The Raspberry Pi CM4 Nano is $50. But yeah. The Pi 1, Orange Pi 1 is 30.
Orange Pi 3, here's one for 40 with the So, oh, there's a $10 shipping.
Yep. Yep.
Now, unfortunately, so I don't need any of them, but I was glad that when I came across, and I was like, hey, you know.
I don't either.
I've still got an original Raspberry Pi, like the original B. I've got a 4. I've got 2 of the 0Ws that aren't doing anything. I've got a 3B that I could probably repurpose because it was running Pi Hole. And then I think another 0 floating around somewhere. And then,
right.
Yeah, I have pies. I have pies.
Yeah, I was just saying,
my 0.
There's like 7 of them around me right now.
Yeah, I have a Pi 4, 4 gig that's in my little LCD case over here. Pi 3 is on my open medium. My Pi 0 died. That was what was running my my DVAP, so I brought the Pi 2 over on the DVAP.
You say it died.
I'm sorry, 9. I have 9 of them.
No longer.
I have 9 of them sitting here right now.
I redid the SD card. I redid everything, and it would no longer boot at all.
That means that something is broken on the board. I just wonder what it would take to fix it. And I've been eyeballing this this WaveShare GamePi 20 to make a little Raspberry Pi 0W into a handheld device. It keeps going on sale for $25, and I was thinking about getting one of those.
So for place the Pi 3, running the Pi 3B running my Open Media Vault, it's not going to be with another Pi. It's going to be with one of these days. I just need to break down by a NAS with a QNAP or a Synology NAS, and then just move all the files off.
I would say why when Pi's are $35, but that's a friggin' lie right now.
Yeah, see, there you go. It's just.
If a Pi is going to cost you $200, you might as well buy a NAS or just an old frickin' computer of any kind.
Yes, or a NUC. Or a NUC with a 2 or 3 terabyte drive in it. You know, I could do, I can probably, if I got like a 4 terabyte drive, I can probably move everything that's on my externals onto it. You know, I mean, and it'd be a lot cleaner instead of cables and a hub plugged into it, you know. But, you know. Now, if that sudden all of a sudden stops and they become easier to get for the normal prices, then maybe. But
well, the chip shortage is supposed to be ending.
Yep,
but you know it's still going to take like 2 years for everything to catch up.
Speaking of chips,
all the backlog.
I know Apple's going to start making some of their M1 chips here.
I thought they were
in
switching
Arizona.
To the M2.
Well, or okay, M series chips. I'll say M series.
Okay, okay.
Right, because they still making M1s. They have M2s. That they don't have M2 anything in the pros. So, like, I have a MacBook Pro that has M1 Pro in it. But that might be changing shortly too, because I did see a supposed couple different designs for a true replacement for the current Mac Pro. Running on their hardware, because that's the only line that Apple has that's still being still sold with Intel, unless you get some of the older machines. But so that's supposed.
I
supposed to be
don't think I'll ever
factory.
Go out of my way to buy a Mac.
Well, you know, all I'm saying is if you have the option between a Windows machine and a Mac at your work, get the Mac. You're going to be much enjoy it much more, but not everyone has that choice. But I did. My company gives us that choice. So
my company doesn't give me that choice, but you know, even if they did, I'd just use it to remote into a Windows box.
Right. Oh, so do I, but of course, in there, I have not drove out to where it's going to be, but I think they have broken ground on the Intel plant here in New Albany, in Ohio. So there's that, you know. But when I hear the president say, oh, we brought back manufacturing, and he keeps mentioning the CHIPS Act, and I'm like, that factory's not going to be done for another 9 years. I mean, because it's gonna, one, it's going to be massive, and two, they have to design the technology they're going to put into it, because it's not going to make the chips of today, it's going to make the chips of tomorrow, so it's not going to be like next year that they're pumping chips out of Ohio. But
yeah, you'd be surprised how quickly they make fabs.
Oh yeah, I know.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's not, you know, you've got,
it ain't going to be ready next time, year, right? But, yes, you know, but yeah, they, that's the point. Yeah,
and machine wise, they'll, you know, be the machines are very replaceable.
Yes. Yes.
So whatever they put in there, they'll just, something new comes along and they need it, they'll put it in.
Right. But we're not, but it's not coming out for the next 2 years, probably, at very.
Yeah, but you got to start somewhere. So.
Truth. Truth. So, you know, but, you know, I do think it's a good idea for us to start making those things here. I do think that they're going to be a little bit more expensive here because we will have different environmental controls. We're going to be a little bit more stricter on that here for good reasons. So that's going to drive the chip prices up a little bit. But, you know, still a good thing because at least then we're not going to have chips being stuck between here and China. So that's a good thing, but so we'll see. How was your kids' Halloween there, Alan?
Oh, they enjoyed it.
Yeah.
The 2-year-old, this is the first time going around. But it took them a little while to realize that, like, walking up to these houses, people would give him candy. we got the use to that. It was like, okay, I'm going right to the front of the line. Fuck you, people.
There you go.
And then when some lady showed him out, because we get halfway going down the road and realize it's like the only person that has anything to hold anything in, because they were so excited to go. You know, it was like 6 o'clock. Okay, out the door. And you know, Shaw had just like a little tiny box that was part of his costume. We didn't figure there was going to be, you know, they get tired like they do last year. It was basically he walked up the end of the street and was like, I've had enough.
Right.
And that was it. So this year we didn't plan for a really big. So he was Steve from Minecraft.
Okay. Yeah.
So he was carrying a box that just said TNT on the front of it. Nice. So, you know, his box was filling up fast. And then we get that halfway down the street and we realize, oh, Cole's a outfit, he doesn't have anything for it, so it was like basically we're throwing him into his brother's thing. And some lady said, well, just turn your hat upside down.
He
was dressed as a Woody, so a cowboy hat. So he would walk up there, put his cowboy hat down, I'll get his candy, go over to his brother, put it in the box, put his cowboy hat back on.
There you go.
So was there a lot of people who recognized him as Steve from Minecraft?
There were a few people that did, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because basically, you know, it was a handmade costume, so you didn't, you know, I mean, there was a couple people that did Minecraft stuff that had the store-bought ones, you know, so they had the giant head and everything like that. He just basically had like a mask that he put up in front of his face that had the head and stuff, and the TNT box basically, I guess, gave it away to a lot of people.
Yep.
Because my daughter went as the 10th Doctor, complete with a sonic screwdriver, and nobody knew who the hell she was. No idea who she was.
Yeah.
Right back.
Which one was the 10th, Joe? So that's my
back.
Question. Yeah, he is. He's back.
Back as the Doctor.
I think that's what sparked the whole resurgence of Doctor Who for her, because she loved the 10th Doctor, and then...
Right.
Now she's like started watching him again, and now she's all excited.
My neighborhood, there was.
He's only going to be in 3 episodes, and they're all going to be next November.
Yep. I thought he was going to. I thought they said he's going to be the whole season.
There's not a season. It's just going to be the 3 specials.
Yeah, 3 specials. Huh.
In November.
But. Yeah, we gave away full size candy bars.
Disney buy it now?
Disney has a deal, but BBC is still has creative control.
Okay. All right. Which is not a bad thing, to be honest, but you know.
Because at that point, you know, Disney gets involved. They gotta have a sad princess somewhere in there. He has to rescue.
Yes.
He's gonna show up in the next Avengers movie.
Now see the coolest costume.
The TARDIS is gonna show up in the last battle with against Kang.
There you go. Probably. Yeah, you know, there's what your daughter should do next year. She should just go as the TARDIS.
Actually, Doctor Who versus Kang would be kind of cool.
That would be awesome. I'd watch it. Absolutely. Yeah.
You'd watch anything.
I'm surprised I didn't get into Doctor Who when I was a lot younger because they do a lot with that show.
When you were a kid, it was actually difficult to watch Doctor Who unless you stayed up all night.
I was going to say, you had to make sure, when I was in high school, you had to make sure that you could get the UHF station that PBS was on.
You had to get PBS, and you had to stay up until like 2 a.m.
Yeah. See, I don't know, where did you grow up, Alan?
In Somerville.
Where?
Jersey.
Oh, see, because our PBS station was shown at like 6 o'clock on a weekday, and it was sponsored by Caps Comics Cavalcade.
That's Ooh. Interesting because
I
didn't sleep in high school and I watched Doctor Who, and it was because it was literally the only thing on at 2 a.m.
But
it was always on later than I saw it. Like I said, yes, 6 o'clock in the evening, I was probably out getting wasted somewhere, especially in high school.
Oh, now the truth comes in.
There was never any not truth to that.
The coolest costume the Kingdom announced this year, though, was a family. They all dressed up as Mario characters, and their oldest, their son, is wheelchair bound, so they dressed his wheelchair up like a Mario Kart. It was really cool.
That's nice.
And mom was dressed as the Princess Peach, and dad was Luigi. I'm sorry. Dad was Yoshi, and his little baby son was Luigi in a one of those carriers you put in the front of you. But it was really neat. And I gave away, I was the legend this year in the neighborhood. I gave away full size candy bars because I was sitting there at Sam's Club. I was adding it up, and I said, box of Reese cups, you know, with 35 full size Reese cups was $38. A big bag of minis was $38. And I thought, well, I don't know how many's gonna hit us, so I bought two boxes of candy bars, and I still had 11 left at the end. So we still had about 60 kids. So it worked out, and they were really happy with it. So I'm going to do that again next year. That was great. me and Luke just sit down at the end of the thing, although my pumpkins got rotten before our Halloween, so we only cut them the week before. But
did you turn them into dill dogs?
No. They that was at the pumpkin show this year. I did not get it.
Do you know what I should have had you do for me, Alan or Pat? I should have had you, when you go grocery shopping next time, actually do me this favor. Do you go grocery shopping?
Sadly, yeah.
Yeah.
So as you're grocery shopping, see if you can find John Copes's dried sweet corn.
Dan doesn't want to pay what they want for it on Amazon.
I'm just curious, because I used to get it all the time up there. And
is it like a can or?
No, I've never heard of it. It's in a bag. It's dried John Cope's dried sweet corn. It should be like out in
like by the beans and stuff, maybe the dried stuff.
It should be on end caps or
okay,
wherever the Thanksgiving shit is up there. Because that's their big time of year is Thanksgiving. And I'm just curious, like, what it's going for up there. I would really love to know. Because I can only get it for, like, $10 a bag. And I used to get it for, like, a few dollars. Yeah. For twice as much. Like, they used to
Amazon,
sell it.
Amazon, it's $32
for
a three-pack.
You used to be able to get 7.5 ounces for, like, dirt cheap. Now you can get 3.75 ounces for, like... So that's half the amount for, like, four times as much as I used to get it for up there.
Now, what's it called? John what?
John Cope's is dried sweet corn. It is a... How do I describe it? It's like a plastic kind of bag, and it's about 6 to 8 inches tall and green. And it's like a green bag.
The Mumble Chat has a link to what it looks like on Amazon.
Yeah, if you just look at like John Cope sweet corn on Google, it'll show you a picture of it.
Right.
And well, like I said,
Do you make with it? Like corn cake or?
You can, but I make baked corn supreme. Which is kind of like a corn souffle. Oh my god, it's so good!
Oh, it's on the body. It's on the bag actually. The recipe for it.
You can make like cream corn and cream corn supreme and baked corn. Oh god, I love the baked corn supreme. I have one bag of it, which I'm gonna take with me to my mother-in-law's. You actually should have two bags because the original recipe was for 7.5 ounces. So, I don't know. Thank goodness my wife is working now. I can afford it. Huh?
Is that made in PA? I'll have to see if I can. Maybe I can find it too.
You might have it up there too. I think, I'm not sure if it's made in PA or. Is it a Pennsylvania thing?
I don't know.
Well, it says PA Dutch. PA Dutch, so.
Oh, okay.
Oh, it's Hanover Foods, so it is in Hanover.
Okay, all right. You know what, though? We have some Hanover stuff in our stores, so I'll have to look. Probably, like, Giant Eagle would be more likely to have it, because Giant Eagle has...
Oh, yeah, I used to get it at Giant, at Weiss's. Yeah,
well, we got a store Lanko. Called Giant... Well, we got a store called Giant Eagle here in Ohio, which actually started out in Western Pennsylvania. And they actually have both regular and sweet leaven and bologna. The only thing about me going over there, though, is I got to remember to take some bags with me because they stopped. Well, they don't do plastic bags there anymore. They will charge you a nickel for – well, okay. How the news article had it was they will charge you a nickel for a paper bag. So for each paper bag it used, it's a nickel. Okay. But from what I've heard, they've waived that because it just started. And so what I can do is when I go to Meijer and we get back, I can take a couple bags over there and go get me – actually, I probably should go get me some leaven and bologna. It's been a while since I had it. I love that stuff. But I can look at their. If anyone's gonna have it, it's gonna be them. Here, and I know that Yoder's might have it down where my dad lives.
But, actually, I can get a 12-pack of it straight from Hanover's for $48.
You get a 25-pound bulk case on Amazon for almost $400.
Yeah, but from Hanover, the 12-pack is $48. That's like...
Oh, there you go.
Holy shoot, that is...
That's half of what... Amazon wants $108 for that. Huh. It says brand is Amish Taste is what it says on Amazon, but...
Amazon is firing like 10,000 people right before the holidays?
Well, yeah.
Not from their shipping business or anything, so you'll still get your stuff on time.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if they fired some in some areas of that, you know, because as time goes on, you're starting to automate more, so the need for people is less. So.
That will be my hot end tips. for my printer.
Oh, yeah.
Had to stock up. I was supposed to be here today, and then I get the thing going, sorry, it's going to be late.
It's delayed.
Yep.
It's delayed. That's like now. I ordered some.
But they gave me they gave me the put the order in at the same time. They gave me the little silicone boots that I wanted. That, you know, because the ones that were like they were like shitty all around the end, the hot end. I was like, oh, just let me go get some clean ones for it. But just like the hot ends, and the hot ends were supposed to be here today. You know, the tips were supposed to be here today, and the other ones were supposed to be here tomorrow.
Interesting.
Okay.
That's like I ordered when I was ordering it. I ordered some. There's a brand called Catalina Crunch, and they make a lot of keto snacks. And they had peanut butter keto sandwich cookies, a 2-pack for $18. I thought I'd order it, but then I got on their website and realized, oh, I could probably go to the fucking store to go get some, because they have a whole bunch of different. Like they have like an Oreo that's keto. A vanilla sandwich cookie that's that. They have other snacks that are keto. I really need to look more at those just because the carbs aren't good for me. And if it tastes, man. I'll try them. And if they taste good, you know, there you go. Oh, yeah. And order.
Carbs are
order
just as good for you as anything else. It's just all things in moderation.
Well, truth.
Nah, here's
moderation
the problem.
Not happening next week.
Here's the problem, man. It's like, okay, a 12-pack is $48. That's like, let's see, a 3-pack.
Oh, Dan, you're breaking up.
Oh, is that better?
Yep.
Is that better? 12-pack is.
I was wondering 40, if that was me.
Is $48? Nope. Can you hear me now?
Dan's a robot.
Am I still doing it?
Yes.
Yes, a little bit. BFG just left the channel.
He's breaking up.
Yes. Games of.
All right, I'm sorry.
There you go.
You hear me now? I don't know what the hell happened. Why did I lose connectivity?
I got an echo.
I don't know. Yeah.
Is that freaking Hanover, dude? I lost it all over the place.
That's what it is, man. Hanover Foods ate all your bandwidth. Did you get them ordered?
Oh no! See, this is the problem, and this puts me in a quandary. This is like, so for a 12-pack. So Amazon has a 3-pack, like the cheapest I can get it is $32 for a 3-pack. But Hanover, I can get a 12-pack for $48, right? So that's like only $16 more for four times as much. But then I got to pay $23.93 in shipping. So it's like $71. I don't know.
Gotcha.
I don't know. It's tough because it makes sense. Like, it makes more sense to buy
even at that price.
Yep.
So, let me see. How much can I get? So the 6-pack is $24. And I wonder what the 6-pack, like, oh, I feel like. So let me see if the 6-pack is like the same $23. Yeah, it's no matter what I buy, it's $23.93 shipping.
So then you order like 6 of them.
Yep.
So, but that's the thing. It's like.
So if you had a second one, it's another $23.
Find a grocery store that'll order you a case.
There you go.
Oh my goodness! If I order two packs of six, the shipping it doubles in price. I'm like, really? It's more expensive to buy 2 packs of six for shipping than 1 pack of 12.
That's like when I ordered. I ordered some birch beer on Amazon, and I paid like $16 for a freaking 12-pack. I'm like, yeah, that's not happening again. Was good, though. And they sent me, although they sent me the wrong kind, they sent me regular instead of diet like I wanted, but oh well.
You drank it anyway.
Yeah. I cannot drink diet soda.
You can't?
It's disgusting to me.
Have you tried the Zeros? They're actually a little bit tastier.
Yeah, I don't drink much in the way of soda anyways. If I have a can in a month, like, that's a lot for me. My wife drinks like it all coffee. The time. Yeah, I'm a coffee addict. But just by the way, I've got to go down and make a cup. I need my evening cup, and I haven't had it yet.
Isn't it a little late for an evening cup?
Nope. It doesn't affect me at all. I will have a cup of coffee. And, like I said, when we get done with the show, I'll go downstairs and make a cup.
I will have a pot of coffee and pass out.
I might make some Creole brew tonight. That's cacao bean, and it's really good. I should probably order the double chocolate again. It's basically the cocoa bean, ground up, and you can make it like coffee.
Okay.
It's really good. Creole brew. CRIOBRU. So, right now I have just like the samples of, like, I have three or four different origins from there. And because I'm stupid with pumpkin spice stuff, the other one's pumpkin spice, but that kind of doesn't really taste like pumpkin spice because the chocolate overpowers the spice. But the double chocolate, though, that was the first sample I opened, and that damn thing tasted, when you finished it, if you just added a little bit of cream in it, it tasted almost just like hot chocolate. I mean, it definitely wasn't that, because it had a different kind of a mouthfeel, but it was delicious. And when I order more, that's all I'm going to order. I'm going to order a big-ass bag of that. I should probably do that for Christmas so I can take some down with my dad. I do it either in I can make it either in my French press, or it works in the Keurig, too, in the little adapters. But now that I got an electric kettle, I always make it in my French press.
Yeah, I got a nice cup of coffee.
Oh man, let me tell you that it's so good, especially now that I can, I don't have to, you know, heat up the water. Heating it up in a microwave works, but it's just kind of a mess. But I have one of those gooseneck electric tea kettles. I think I got it for like $30 on Amazon. That is so nice.
Yes.
And it boils the water like in maybe 2 or 3 minutes. You know, so it's like, it actually is faster than probably a 10-cup coffee pot to do it that way. But, and I have a Bodum press I have. Somewhere, I think I actually bought a travel press. So that it's basically a French press built into a mug, you know, like a travel mug.
Mm-hmm.
Which, that's fine if you don't want to add anything to your coffee. it's not like you can pour it out of that and then into another. I guess you could if that's all you had with you, but.
Well, a good cup of coffee, you really don't need to add anything to.
This is true. This is true. I think since the last time you were on, which was in September when it was, I went to the Columbus Coffee Festival. And the way that worked was all these different roasters would come and set up down at the Ohio Historical Society area, which is like a, it's kind of like a, a little bit like Colonial Williamsburg, so all the buildings are kind of old and stuff. Mm-hmm. Old looking. You know, they actually have modern stuff in them. But they'll all set up in all these buildings, and they'll brew their coffee, and you have a cup, and you just walk around, drink coffee all day. Well, at least for a couple hours. After a couple hours, I was vibrating anyway. But all of that, you'd be proud of me, Alan. All of that, I drank black, every single bit of it. couple. Oh, yeah. There was a couple. I did throw some cream in just because I wanted. And it was one of the few, like all of them, with like a little note, like a little card by the thing where you get the coffee at, and say, "Well, this has notes
I don't need note stuff.
Yeah, this one said it had notes of chocolate, and it actually did. And it really actually worked for me. That's why I liked it. You know, I'm like, I could drink that stuff black all day. then that day I was also trying to stay away from my typical, because I wanted to try new stuff. So I was trying everything. I was trying was like either a light or a medium roast, and some of them were really funky. One of them, there was a, I'm trying to remember the name of the place. I probably could go look it up. I got the book behind me here. But one of them was a Vietnamese coffee company based local here in Columbus. And I think after they roasted it, they stored it in the, and aged it in a whiskey barrel.
Okay.
That came out really good. You can actually tell it was in the whiskey barrel, because you can get little notes of bourbon in it. But
yeah, I always laugh when they do those cards and stuff when you use cigars, like earthy with hints of leather. It's like, who the fuck has ever smoked leather? You know, no one in the world has ever like rolled up leather and smoked it to come up with hints of leather.
And you might smell it when it's burning, but when you suck it in, it probably doesn't taste the same.
Yeah. I've been doing it for a long time. I've never tasted half the shit that they say it's going to be on there.
Yeah,
the only ones I've ever tasted lots of shit on there were, you know, like some of the Drew Estates, his infused selections and stuff. Then right. You get tons if you're in a cigar bar and you light up one of those, people will start looking at you. Like, flowery smell there.
They did have, one company there did a Turkish coffee soda. Yeah, you know, it was carbonated. It was delicious. And I've never had anything that tasted quite like that. It was kind of...
It's a soda stream out.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually don't have it anymore. I got rid of it when we moved, but... There might be... I might was look that, at yeah, that yeah,
The guy on YouTube, was it a Big Clive...
Yes, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. Or some, I'm surprised saying his name. Big Clive, just Scottish, I guess it is. Every once in a while, when he's not doing his electronics ones, he does ones with a soda stream with like putting different things in there that you're not supposed to.
Yeah.
Some of them are hilarious when he comes up with.
Yep. Well, he's also, too, like if you ever watch an Ashton's video and you see this freaky head that pops up in the middle of one of his videos. That's him. It's Big Clive.
Okay.
Yeah. Because he's from the UK. But...
Yeah. Yeah, I was like watching him. Yeah, he's got some good stuff. Good learning channel.
It is, actually. Yeah, he'll tear it apart different power adapters and stuff. Tell you if it's safe or not.
Yeah.
He did one from IKEA the other day.
I haven't been to IKEA in years.
Half of the room I'm in is from IKEA.
I was going to mention the Micro Center got rid of their bags too. But they don't sell the paper bags. They sell cloth bags.
Oh, yeah. They got rid... Well, 9 times out of 10, when I'm going to Micro Center to buy something, it usually doesn't fit in a bag. It's usually a laptop or something.
Yeah, well, it's... They're big bags, but... Still gotta buy them.
Yeah.
Good scheme. Cost them a nickel, and, you know, hey, surprise, you need these if you want to walk out the store.
Well, my favorite is they always make it sound like they're doing it for the environment. I'm like, you're not doing it for the environment. You're doing it to make 5 cents per bag.
Well, no, no. Considering that, I think they charge like $1.50 well, or $2 or something a bag.
Right, not those, but...
Well, if it's now, a reusable one, I don't have too much issue with that
price. It is reusable, but am I going to remember to bring it next time I go to Microsoft?
That's just it.
I went shopping tonight. I had to pick up a couple things, and I got halfway there and realized, oh, I don't have any bags. I was like, well, I'll just pay the nickel at Wegmans to get them done.
All right.
And then I realized, oh, gee, I had two in the bag. You know, I had two bags left over from the last time I went shopping that I never took out of the car. I still ended up having to buy a bag because I still didn't have enough. So.
And then you got to wash them every once in a while, too, or they get disgusting. But... especially in the winter.
At that point, I'm throwing them out and just getting new ones.
Right.
Yeah. I'm not fucking washing bags.
Wash them. They will fall apart.
Yeah.
Now, they do have them, Meijer, up front. They have these bags that are basically designed. They have, like, sticks out of either side of them. And they're designed to basically just hang in the cart.
Yeah.
So, and what you do there is you can... use their app, and basically you can scan all your food as you put it in there, and then you, instead of going through the regular checkout, you go to one of the self-serve ones. You scan you tell them you're going to check out, and your phone pulls up a QR code. You scan that with the registry, then it pulls up your transactions on there. Then you can pay for it and leave.
Does it weigh your cart?
Nope. It does not weigh the cart.
Wasn't it Walmart that was doing that, but they decided they're not going to do that because people are still stealing?
Yeah, probably.
I think it was Walmart that
Sam's Club
started doing it.
Now, what Sam's Club does is with theirs, scan and go is what they call theirs. You scan it all, you pay it on your phone, and then... it puts up a QR code on your phone. They scan that, and then they pick three or four items out of your cart, scan those, and then you're done. They don't weigh the cart. And we absolutely love it. We wish we had it back when we had kids like you do now, Alan.
half the time we go shopping, I'll just order it and then just go and pick it up.
Yeah.
It's just easier.
Honestly, it stops that, you know, random buying of things as we walk past them.
Yes. Yeah, you're like you go through and you're like, ooh, cheeseburger flavored cool. potato chips.
Look what's on sale over here.
Yeah. I mean, tonight was more of a, you know, we ran out of some stuff and just didn't, you know, it was like, we need them now rather than, you know, waiting for tomorrow and shit. But the most part, usually Ashley calls in an order and that's, you know, we just have to go down and get it.
Instacart or Kroger has their own thing. I think they all do now. But now Meijer's still... Nobody has returned back to 24 hours like I wish they would. I actually liked when Meijer was 24 hours before the pandemic. I would go shopping at 1 or 2 in the morning because there's no fucking buddy there.
Yeah, but then, you know, they found out that they don't have to pay people if they're not open.
Truth. Yeah, well, and I think it probably one thing they figured out during the pandemic was that, you know, other than for shift workers, it really wasn't panning out anymore. At one time, it might have been, but
well, no, they did that because one company decides they're going to do that, and then, oh, we don't want to lose out, and they all just end up doing it.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's what Walmart did at one point, but
Walmart's here is still 24 hours.
Ours is, they're open till 10, and then the Meijer is open till midnight. But they used to be open. The only day they ever used to close was Christmas Day. But now they're open to only till midnight. Trying to think if they close for any other days. I don't think they do. But
what time does our Walmart close now? You don't know, it's like 10 o'clock or something.
It's probably 10. Walmart doesn't have any 24-hour stores anymore. Basically, you've probably seen it, but it had like a Death Star in the middle, and then each player would hit buttons on their side. So, like, what would happen is it would go, dit-dit-dit-dit, and then you had to press the button. As soon as the lights lit up, whoever was first got point, okay? And then once you got 7 points, the Death Star would blow up, all right? Well, we got it for Christmas 1 year, and it didn't work, all right? It was a Saturday. And Sunday, my dad grabs a receipt. He says, we're going to go exchange this because, you know, I know I want you guys to have your to play with, but nobody was open. And
it used to be that way for Thanksgiving, and nobody was open except the gas station up the street, and that was just for emergencies and stuff. And now it's Black Friday practically starts at like 5:01.
Yep.
Yeah, Black Friday starts at the beginning of November.
Yeah.
And it's like Cyber Monday really isn't a thing anymore because, yeah, everybody's doing it.
It was a thing because it was a thing back in the dial-up days.
No, it was a thing before Prime Day really took off, and before
Prime
Day's
junk anyway.
Now it used to be good. I'm not going to argue. It's junk now. You used to be able to get good deals on Prime Day, and now you look at the sales, and, hey, look, that's almost the exact same price it was yesterday. I think it's actually a dollar more.
Joel will be sleeping in about Black Friday. It may go out, but surely ain't going to be for buying shit.
I don't leave the house on Black Friday.
No, I might go to Sam's Club and load up on food or something, but
I refuse to go out anywhere on Black Friday because of me being in retail for so long.
It's
I had to work Black Friday all the time.
It's only bad on the opening. It's only bad when the store opens.
The drivers are stupid enough on normal days. I'm not going to go out on the road.
Well, this is certainly true, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah, we had like 2 weeks here where three semis got shoved off the road here. And that was non-Black Friday.
That's the one thing I don't miss about 80s. Not having to commute anymore.
Oh, yeah, work's eventually going to make me commute again on a regular basis. Avoiding it as long as possible.
Yeah, I'm sure they're going to as well, or at least on a... You know,
semi-regular basis.
Yeah, the last time they had us come back, we were doing 2 days a week.
Well,
so
my
three
work,
off, two on. But then COVID came back on. Then they said go back home. So I'm like, okay.
Yeah, my work wants us to do 3 days in, 2 days from home, and that is, you know, probably being generous, but
right.
No, I do have a kid that it has a compromised immune system, and I'd just rather avoid catching something.
Yeah.
Understandable. That's understandable.
Yeah.
But, yep. Yeah.
Been pretty much able to do everything besides file things in a filing cabinet. I can do everything from home here, so.
Yeah, we weren't doing that at the office anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Some companies, like my company is saying, basically leaving it up to us, you know, if you worked in an office before. Like in my case, I never worked in an office. So
my company wants us to build camaraderie or whatever, but you know,
don't
the whole team dynamic. But half of our teams, not my team in particular, but half of our teams are spread all across the US anyway. So, you know,
right.
Some of the teams got like one guy that lives in the Dallas Fort Worth area, and then like two guys that live in Arizona, and then three guys that work in New York. And
That you can't do on a Teams meeting.
Right. Yeah, that's like, now, good example of how that kind of thing kind of fails a little bit, at least when on my new team, December 5th. I'm part of the North American side of a 24-hour global support team. Well, my boss and her boss and the vice president and the CTO are in Bangalore this week, and they're doing training classes for some of the new folks over there that are coming into the global support model. All right, well, what time are they having those? 9 p.m. Eastern to 9 a.m. Eastern. I'm not going to be on those calls. They sent them to me, but I'm not going to be on them. I'll watch the recording tomorrow. Actually, I've only watched one of them this week. But the good thing, though, is I have a good relationship with the lady who's going to be my new manager. And I've known her for 20 years, so she knows I know my shit. So
yeah. I do jump on the occasional 9 p.m. meeting, and I do jump on the occasional 6:30 a.m. meeting.
On occasion,
I will do both in one day, but then, you know, I'm going to be taking it easy the next day. And
yep,
if I pull a 12 or 13 hour shift, and I'm going to need some time off sooner or later.
Yeah, they're one of my the other lead on my team who's going to be the only lead on my, well, no, not the only lead, because they're kind of going to mesh together both what used to be called the transition team and our team together. And if we do get transitions, they'll do them, but transitions to cloud, that is. But they're migrating one of our clients to our resource domain, which is going to take all their servers off of their domain. That's going to be Friday night, I think. So he's taking part of the time off tomorrow, like anything after. No, actually, it's Friday morning. I'm sorry. Very, very early Friday mornings when they're doing that. This school is based in, Iowa, I think. Either Iowa or Idaho. I can't remember which. But so they're going to be up. They got an 8-hour window when they're doing that work. So, yeah, they're very good at flexing our time if we end up working late. So,
well, I'm the guy that writes the schedule. So,
right.
I will flex my time. It's been difficult the last 2 weeks to flex my time because everybody's been out. Like yesterday, we have a couple of people that don't have their access completely sorted, and then we have a whole bunch of other people that are on vacation or whatever. So yesterday being Tuesday, I had an early meeting, so I was on 7, and I did not get off until 7 p.m. because I was the only, well, me and one other guy were the only ones with access to do this one set of jobs. And so I just stayed until it was done. Otherwise, they were going to be calling me every 30 minutes.
Yep.
But I can't flex my time right now because my boss has to go back to Boston because he has some family stuff coming up.
He's come to Boston, he said, yeah.
So I have to cover for him tomorrow. So it's going to be a while before I can take time off. I'm supposed to have Friday off, but the person that's supposed to be covering for me is having laptop issues because she was gone on paternity for several months and that revoked all her access. And so we'll see if she's actually able to access anything on Friday, and I might get Friday off. Then I'm supposed to have vacation for most of the week next week, but we'll see if that actually happens. I love my job.
Yeah. You know what I'm going to love, Joe? When I retire. Some of us are closer to that than others.
I don't know what that word actually is.
So you can work into your 70?
I don't have a choice, dude. My house isn't paid off until I'm 72.
He's going to have to work until at least 2 weeks after he's dead. I know that feeling.
Yes, pretty much, yeah. My house isn't paid off until I'm 72, so I gotta try to get something at least till then.
I guess. Do you guys have property tax in PA? I know we do.
Oh no, that just takes out the big mortgage bill. Yeah, there's
right.
Property taxes, which aren't too bad where I am right now.
Right, but after your mortgage is paid, when your mortgage is paid, then you have to come up with that every year.
Oh yeah, no, I know that.
Yeah, that's like the one good thing that happened when my mom passed was she had enough life insurance that off the house. So all my dad has to do is he pay the tax bill once a year. So he got to be good at budgeting that so that when it comes to the end of the year, he had enough in there to cover it. So he would just send the check in. But
I have to die while I'm employed. That's the only way I have life insurance, only through them.
Right?
Right.
I'm worth way more dead.
My wife will not get enough to pay off the house if I pass. Only because we moved to a new house.
I don't know. My insurance is pretty good, so.
Now, hopefully.
And as we end the show on such happy notes, sir.
Yeah, right. I got to check with my brother-in-law. He's he and his my sister-in-law, they build a new house. Well, the only thing is they can't close on a new house till they sell their old house because they can't afford both houses. All right.
I got Jackie sitting right next to me listening to how much I'm worth dead.
Right. Anywho, almost 10 o'clock. Pat just left the channel. I think it's time we say happy Thanksgiving, y'all. And we will catch you in December.
Oh, are we not doing a show next week?
I'm not going to be here.
Yeah, Dan's on. I mean, we can. I'm available. I am off a week. So if
I'm supposed
you
to
and I want to do a show, then we can do a show. But you know, we'll see. Yeah, there you go. We can record it and send it to Dan, then give Dan something to do on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, Dan's not going to do that on Thanksgiving.
I got to remind Jackie to set out the turkey so I can start thawing.
Friday. Yep. How much are you cooking for Thanksgiving, Dan?
I'm not cooking at all. I'm going to my mother-in-law's.
Well, there you go.
Well, that makes it easier. Make a mess and then leave.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
What I probably will be making is cranberries. I gotta can some cranberries. It's the only time of year you can get them, you know. So I gotta make a bunch of that stuff and can it.
Cranberry sauce. I like cranberry sauce, especially if it's can shaped. I keyed. No, I'm making turkey, pies, bread, and rolls. The bread's for the stuffing.
Shit, I got sweet potato what kind casserole.
Yeah, I'm gonna make a sweet potato casserole and mashed potatoes. And that's about it. I gotta go get that stuff this week.
And my only disappointment when I go to my mother-in-law's is that I don't know if I'm gonna make it back home in time to get the cheap turkey deals the next day.
Right?
Next couple of days, where they're like, you go in and get turkey for like $3 or $4. I'm like, stick that shit in my freezer.
If it goes on sale this year, I mean, there's supposed to be a turkey shortage. Prices were supposed to shoot up, which is why we bought turkey early.
I don't know. We got a ton of turkeys I see floating around here. So I'm almost positive there's going to be turkeys afterwards.
They had a bunch at my store.
Last year I bought 4 turkeys after Thanksgiving. I broke 2 down.
There you go.
And then I left 2 whole.
I don't think I have the freezer space. We might need to get like
Deep freeze.
We have a little deep freeze. I need a big deep freeze.
Maybe you can find one on Black Friday.
There you go.
That would require leaving the house on Black Friday, and it's not going to happen.
You know what I did? When I finally did get a freezer to put in the garage, I bought it on Amazon, and they just... This kind of pissed me off. They delivered it at 5 in the morning.
Really?
Amazon did. Yeah. Yeah, and I wake up and I see the notification for making them bring you an appliance.
No,
hold on, let me guess.
On my phone.
They pushed it
up
against your front door.
Yep. Actually, no, it was on the porch. It wasn't against the front door. But still, I'm like, you're going to leave a, like, the thing that we paid $400 for that thing, you're going to leave a $400 delivery sit on my porch? Well, that's like what happened when they delivered my work laptop. I was at church when it got here. And, you know, they just, it literally has in the thing says signature required in all the shipping notes. They just left it on my porch. Good thing it was still there when I got there. $2,500 MacBook. So, so everyone, eat too much. Have a good time with your family. And we'll see you next month.
Yeah. Have a good one, everybody.
Oh, is that
play it? Play us out, man. Yeah. What? 10 o'clock.
Oh, damn. I didn't have it set up yet. I didn't realize we were stopping the time. That's right. Let me see here.
Alan, you can leave. We'll hang. Yeah. See you, Alan. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to all.
Yeah, I have it ready. Hold on. I have it. Here we go.
Happy Thanksgiving.
I gotta play the promos and then.
He's gonna play the old promos again.
No, I deleted those. I deleted them. All right, here we go. Here are your promos. Thank you.
I am short.
Oh my God.
It's Hacker Public. Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
Hello. My name is Matt, and I've started a new podcast called LibreQuest. We talk about Linux and general technical topics. To get the show, visit LibreQuest.org.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up. It's over.
You were making it for me down in the kitchen. It's done. Sushi.
Didn't Talk Geek to Me play again?
No, it didn't. I told you I got rid of it.
Okay. All right. I know your chair made a big old fart.
This show's going to be a pain in the ass to put together because for some reason it stopped.
You dropped connections.
Yeah, I don't know why. Yeah. Like, it wasn't my internal network. It had to be something going on with Cox. Because like everything was fine. I can get everywhere internally. It's just out past Cox. We'll see how it goes.
The only thing is the Mini 2's remote. I don't know. Well, I don't really want to pay extra because you've seen the new remote they have, right?
Oh, no. I'm saying, if you don't have to, but like I said, that was my only way of flying.
With the screen on it, so yeah.
Yeah, with the way that I had set it up, it was like, it's nice. I mean, you can go in and, you can set like waypoints and have it fly to different points and stuff.
Yeah.
Which for me, I don't really need things like that, but. I just wanted to fly the damn thing.
Yeah, I have messed with some of the modes. Like, I did do some of the tracking.
I think the Lychee will do the follow, like, the more expensive ones, too. Because the Mini itself doesn't have that, the follow. It follows the remote, but it doesn't follow the person. The Lychee software will, like, I believe, I haven't tried it yet, but I believe will actually let you follow the person.
I mostly wanted the Mini to... Mostly because it's smaller than the Mavic.
It is nice and small, although you'll find that like the first thing you want to do is go print, like, you know, I 3D printed some guards that hold the blades, you know, so if you try to put it away, the blades aren't flying all over the fucking place.
I'm used to that stuff and just make it.
But I mean, it is literally, you know, when they show it with the can of soda behind the can of soda,
right,
it is actually that
whack
big.
Off and just make it. See,
and I mean, I don't have pockets big enough, but you, if you really want to, you can throw
whack
it in the
off and just make it. Okay, Dave or Dan. Figure out the connector, whack it off, and just make it. Figure out the connector, whack it off, and just make it. Dan, you're broken.
I'm just checking the audio level on the playback. That's all I'm doing.
I will say this. The Mavic is small. Actually, probably both my old bag and my new bag, I can still fit it in its carrying bag, because I do have the bag for it, you know.
Yeah.
And I would, if I bought the Mini 2, I'd buy the Flymore bundle, so it would come with the bag. But
yeah, I bought the bundle too, so I got the bag and everything.
Yeah. Even the Mavic will fit in my new one as well as the old one. Not exactly sure on the new one, but the new one is like 2,200. It's huge.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a six. I forget how many liters it is. Let me look. Well, put it this way. It'll hold up to 4 laptops.
That's overkill for me.
I just wanted it because I like to stick my cameras and stuff in the bag. So I rarely will take that many. But when I do travel for work, I always take the work laptop, obviously, and my personal for after hours. Yeah. So I'll take like my Surface Pro 6, which hard for me to believe that the 9's out now. But the 6 is still fine. And I'd probably also slip my iPad in too, because the iPad's not that sick. So, and that'll definitely hold that, and then some. So, you know, like I can have like a change of clothes in it, or my camera gear. So, I might, depending on how large of a gift card I get from Dad this year, I may supplement that and order Le Petit Derrière, which is basically a fanny pack. Which, yeah.
You need your petite butt there, huh?
Yeah. I'd get the big one, but they don't make it no more. they have one. They have another fanny pack called, they used to make one called La Grande Derrière.
I was just saying, you want the fat ass, huh?
Yeah. But the nice thing about that, though, is it would fit in pretty much anything. Yeah, I could throw that in a suitcase, or I can put it in the normal backpack. But it's just nice to have something, like, if you just want to carry a little bit out instead of carrying your big backpack, you know, around a Linux Fest or something. Speaking of that, Ohio Linux Fest is in 15 days. We'll have to bring that up on the show. I don't know if I'm going to go or not. It's always a pain in the ass when the show is in your own town and you have family.
I would have liked to, but it's not a good time for
me.
On top of that, I would never stay at the
Nobody wants you there anyway, Alan.
I know. I've known that for years.
there's incentive, though, because it's also matched up with GalaxyCon too, the same weekend.
Yeah. That sucks. I just came across a SD card that had my pictures from the last time with it was Comic Con there.
Oh, yeah.
When we were all there for Comic Con.
Actually, Alan, I lie. Beth Lynn would absolutely love that you would show up.
She would.
And so
actually
would Moose and everybody else.
Moose is not involved anymore, as far as I know.
Well, shows what I know.
Right.
I don't know. Who would I recognize it? Ohio Linux Fest besides Beth Lynn?
Good question. Probably none of the vendors. Does
Brian still go shop rat?
No.
No?
He hasn't been the last few years. I didn't go last year because mask bullshit. I just didn't want to deal with it.
Murph's not going. Well, cheap bastard.
Nah.
Son of a
bitch.
You
know what? If it came down between Southeast Linux Fest and Ohio Linux Fest, and I live in the town of it, I'd rather go to the Southeast Linux Fest every day.
Who was the guy that I drove with? God damn, I can't remember his name. He came down to my place, picked him up. He shit in my bathroom. No, he crapped in my bathroom, stunk it up before he left, and that was the last time I ever saw him again. What was his name?
Know.
Oh, man. He was a funny guy. He was really nice. I thought it started with a V.
Vulcan Rider? No.
No, no, no. He's an older gentleman. I think he was about the same age that 50 was. Oh, man, what was his name? He came down, he drove down to my place, and we both drove to, I feel it was Southeast Linux Fest.
Yeah, it had to have been, I thought, but...
Yeah, and I think it was when they were in... It wasn't when they were in Clemson.
Hmm.
All right, who's fapping in the background there?
You hear it now?
No. Dan.
There's something. Yeah, I heard that too. There's something I'm bumping that's causing a little.
He must be bouncing his knee up and down like I do every once in a while when I'm working.
I wasn't. I bumped something because like I moved, like I put my hand, like if I do this, do you hear it?
No.
No.
Now I know. I just did for a second.
I love it. Murph says Joel can't go because it's too convenient.
No, well, no.
Bravo, sir. Well, bravo.
No. It's actually inconvenient because my family assumes, oh, it's in town, so you only can go down for a few hours. I'm like, no, I want to go all day.
See, my family would be fine if I went down all day. Be like, you go have a good time. Go have a good time. Well, we could deal with that.
But to top it all off, though, is there going to be anybody there that I actually want to see?
You probably never not. Know.
Well, oh wait,
Pegwell and 330 might show up.
Oh, that's bullshit. No, I do know actually. Tony Bemis is going to be there. I saw he's actually doing a presentation, so maybe I might sneak down and see his presentation. But you know, the vendor area is going to be probably very small if they have one at all. You know, I don't see a lot of like some of the companies used to come there, like the guy I got the Alix router from the one time. I'm sure I haven't seen him in God 10 years now. You gotta have the guy that Zareason, they're gone. You know, they're history. Maybe I don't think Think Penguin ever sent anyone there to Minute.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they did.
Okay. Wait. System 76 might have, but a lot of times OLF is mostly corporate, like IBM will have a booth and there might be a couple different contracting companies there trying to pick people up, and you know, unless a contract company gives me a really lucrative deal, I'm staying where I'm at.
Okay, then, so Think Penguin is the guy out of New Jersey, isn't it?
Right.
If I'm not mistaken.
So yeah.
What was the company that did, like, they were one of the first, and, you know what?
The reason?
No, let's start the show. Let's start the show and talk about
it
on the show.
Yeah, let's do that.
Because I got a question about that.